Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. Very excited about my next guest. Carol Markowitz writes for The Spectator. She also writes for The New York Post. You probably see her on Fox a lot. And she has a new piece out in The Spectator, and the photo is of Ella Emhoff, the stepdaughter of Vice President Kamala Harris, who was at the Met Gala. And she was not the only political adjacent person who was there. We had Megan Rapinoe, who's very woke, who was walking the red carpet. Of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But what stuck out to Carol sees things like a lot of us do, where everything is in the scope of masks. And, you know, wait a second. They're all doing things that I don't normally get to do. And she points out that if there's one thing we have collectively learned during the 18 months of this pandemic, it's that the rules don't apply to the rich and famous. It's very hard to deny that, especially when you're seeing these photos of these celebrities. I don't consider AOC a celebrity, but you're seeing these photos of people in these ball gowns, these tax the rich dresses. They don't have a mask on, but the staff around them does. So, Carol, can you explain to my audience, is there some sort of antibody that famous rich elites have against this virus that the rest of us don't?
Yeah, it's amazing. They don't have to follow any of the restrictions. I think we've had 18 months of politicians and celebrities just pretending COVID doesn't exist, and the rest of us don't really have that option. School began, for example, in New York City yesterday, and all the kids are masked, including the ones that are 12 and over and have been vaccinated. All the teachers are masked despite being vaccinated. But yesterday, Bill de Blasio, our mayor, came into a school classroom to talk to the students, and guess what? He's unmasked because I guess COVID does not affect him. And so we have this situation over and over again where especially politicians have been completely disregarding all of the restrictions that they put into place themselves. Governor Cuomo was famous for telling us how important mask wearing was while not himself wearing a mask. His brother, CNN host Chris Cuomo, also disregarded all possible rules, including while he was actually sick with COVID and having symptoms. He left his house while the rest of us were quarantining without being sick.
I'm glad you brought up Bill de Blasio, Carol, because you mentioned him in this Spectator piece. And there's an interesting point you hit on where he, at first, now everyone should know, Bill de Blasio at one point, I don't know when, but at one point he had said he would not attend the Met Galas because they, you know, were too elitist or whatever. Well, clearly he's changed right. his mind. But he said the message, the goals of this gala really celebrate diversity and inclusion. You tie that in to the lack of diversity and inclusion that these vaccine passports and mandates have the effect in New York City on a lot of minorities. Can you kind of explain to my audience that tie-in?
So over 60% of Black New Yorkers are not vaccinated. And so we have the situation where Bill de Blasio's vaccine passport mandate, makes them unable to dine inside at restaurants, go to museums, go to the Met Gala, do any of that. So it's interesting because he speaks a lot about diversity, but the diversity here is absolutely absent. I think a lot of people who don't live in New York also don't realize that with the vaccine passports that we now need to show everywhere, I mean, any indoor setting basically in New York City must show a vaccine passport. We also have to show ID. Now, I've been told for years that having to produce ID was extremely racist and absolutely should not be done in any case. And yet here I have to produce one to eat at a diner. I have to produce one to eat indoors at McDonald's. These aren't just fancy restaurants or fancy museums. This is everywhere. And what's interesting also in his executive order where he implemented this, Staff has to also, of course, be vaccinated. So if you have a restaurant, for example, all the staff has to be vaccinated. But the exception that he made was for athletes and celebrities who are visiting New York and performing here or playing a game here and their entourages. It's amazing that this carve-out exists, and yet it's not like the biggest news ever that celebrities and athletes don't have to follow the rules that the rest of us do.
Speaking of entourages, I just have to make mention, because I saw you were tweeting about it today, when AOC went to the Met, if the tax the rich dress wasn't enough to make you laugh, there's a video of her walking out of her building to get to the Met. She's unmasked, and she literally has a masked servant carrying her dress so that it won't hit the ground. It's mind-blowing, Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gave me very Evita vibes. It really felt like a corrupt South American, you know, dictator's wife having her dress carried while she talks about how much she cares about the poor. It's really like a very striking image.
No, absolutely. Carol, something I love is that you write about masks a lot, but every time you write about it, it has a different spin or there's a different detail that I didn't take into consideration. I think a major part of this is because you have kids who are dealing with this in New York, and so it's always top of mind for you. You have a New York Post article, "No sports, no clubs, no talking during lunch, and other joys of COVID schooling." Can you mention some of the insanity that you've seen at your own kids' schools?
Yeah. So they're not allowed to talk to each other during lunch. They eat lunch on the ground outside, and then they have recess masked and socially distanced. So if you have a game of tag or a game of basketball or any of the games that require you kind of to be near your friends, you must be masked and you can't come near them. So you have teachers walking around and enforcing the 3 feet rule, and it's really crazy. I mean, I have never thought about homeschooling my kids, and I, in the last 2 days, have been very much thinking about it. I don't know how I can do it, but I have a middle schooler and 2 elementary school kids, and for the elementary school ones, I'm seriously considering pulling them and homeschooling them myself, which is just, if anybody that knows me knows that that's a very wild proposition, because I do all my work while they're at school. I'm a very involved parent, but I absolutely need the time when they're at school to have my job. So I don't know what we're going to do, but I feel like kids are constantly put last, and I kind of can't watch it happen anymore to my kids. I think that I would like to stay and fight in New York, but every day is just pushing me further and further out the door. I think that we're in a mania here where it's not going to get better for a very long time.
And it's very interesting because earlier today we were playing a lot of the sound cuts from the gymnast testimony, and one of the quotes from Simone Biles, she actually quoted Nelson Mandela, and the quote was, "There can be no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children." And obviously, in her case, she's talking about the horrific abuse from Larry Nassar. But in your writing, Carol, you really do highlight how over the last few years, kids have really come last. And there's this idea that, oh, well, kids are resilient. And I love how you say, kids are resilient, insist the world's least resilient adults. Like, we all have this faith that these kids aren't going to be permanently damaged. But why? Right. We have no evidence of that.
Yeah, and there's so many damaged adults walking around and talking about how their childhood messed them up, and yet we're masking, you know, 2-year-olds and thinking that that's going to be okay, and pretending we don't know anything about childhood development. I've written about the gymnasts in the past, and I wrote about it from the perspective of nobody spoke up. Nobody spoke up for them. They told people, and nobody defended them. Nobody spoke up and said that this was happening, and we need to do something about this. And I think that that's really where we are as a society. Nobody's speaking up. I mean, you can have study after study showing that masks largely don't matter for children at all. Most of Europe did not mask children at all, ever, under 12, never. And yet we're in America masking 2-year-olds, like that's okay. 2 and up are getting masked all day, every day in their classrooms, and we think that that's fine. I really wish that people would stand up and speak up when they know that something is wrong. And I think that, you know, what happened, the horrible things that happened to the gymnasts really tie into that. We're a society of people that doesn't speak up anymore. It's scary. And the more left the place, the less likely anybody's going to step outside the line or dare to challenge the authority, because conformity is such a big part of the left right now. It's absolutely, you must be in lockstep or you're out, and nobody wants to be out.
Yeah, and Carol, something you just brought up about the studies and the efficacy of these masks and all of the craziness that's going on with trying to prevent the spread of this, it really made me think, because one of your sentences really spoke to me, and here's why. Whenever I talk to my mom about these things, and we talk about, you know, I have friends whose husbands weren't allowed into the hospital so they couldn't see the ultrasound, or people had their weddings canceled, or people couldn't throw wakes for their, have wakes for their family members. My mom had always said to me, the worst part is that none of this had to happen. Like, the worst part of it is that it was preventable. And you write, the worst part is the pointlessness. And that really hit me, because a lot of this stuff doesn't have to be happening. And the parents, as you point out at your kids' schools, they'll talk about it to each other and roll their eyes, but it could be stopped.
Right. Yesterday, on the first day of school in New York City, there was a video of a maintenance person walking around and spraying disinfectant into the air. And, you know, that's a very minor sort of thing that doesn't need to happen. We've known for a year at least that it doesn't spread on surfaces, and yet we're still disinfecting buildings and spending, you know, obviously millions and millions and millions of dollars on this. But the ones that really don't have to happen, the ones where we keep kids apart, where we stunt their development, where we keep them masked, I mean, all of that is just painful to watch. And, it's not just kids. It's all of the things that you mentioned. We have like three times as many cases as we had before we had the vaccines. We're in a situation where we can't face reality that this is going to be endemic in our lives. And COVID is not going anywhere, and we have to just move on. And people seem unwilling to do that, and they're really afraid, and it all comes from our leadership.
Now, Carol Markowitz, before I let you go, you did have one mention, and I know you're a New Yorker, but you made one mention of a case in Massachusetts, in Bedford, Mass. Can you tell my audience a little bit about what you saw coming out of Bedford?
So there's a great Twitter account out of Bedford. I forgot what it's called, but I mentioned it in my column. But they posted pictures of chairs facing forward outside, all spaced out, no tables, and that's where the kids would eat lunch, outside in middle school, where apparently over 85% of the kids that age are vaccinated in Bedford. So it's like they're eating outside, they're not allowed to sit next to each other, they can't, you know, they're not facing each other, they have no table to eat on, and they're vaccinated. If we can't move on when that percentage of vaccination has occurred in that demographic, when can we move on? And I think the answer to that is these people will never let us move on. We have to demand it. We have to speak up. And it's happening everywhere. That's the other thing I want to like really stress to people, that while I focus a lot on New York City because I live here and because I suffer under their ridiculous rules, this is happening everywhere. Our plan B was to move to Palm Beach County in Florida. They're overruling Governor DeSantis's mask mandate and saying that they're going to continue to mask kids in school. It's really tough.
And as you point out, there doesn't seem to be an off-ramp. Carol Markowitz, everyone should read all of Carol's stuff at New York Post, Spectator. Follow her on Twitter. She's the best Twitter handle, at Carol, K-A-R-O-L. I don't know how she got that, but she must have been one of the first people on there. Thank you so much, Carol. We hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Guys, did you know that last week, Howie Carr, we've been talking about it this week, but because it was memorable when someone microwaves fish in a small office. Boy, you remember it, Jared, don't you?
Yes, and much like MSNBC and CNN, we have to keep this cautionary tale in the news cycle.
Well, here's what's interesting, though, because Howie puts the fish cakes in, and I think, all right, I got to tell this story on the air. But then we just had a caller in the first hour say that she loves the thunderstorm because she runs a vet clinic, and she has a cat there with explosive diarrhea. And she said, the thunderstorm is clearing out the smell. So I have so many examples of why you guys need to get your hands on the thunderstorm. If that doesn't sell you, then I give up.
Yeah, I mean, that is the selling point.
Yes, for sure. And fortunately, with the thunderstorm, all of these disasters, whether it's fish cakes or cat poop, it can all be short-lived. Right now, they're running a very special deal. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. This device does not try to cover up smells. It eliminates them. It purifies the air, and that's what you need when you're dealing with stuff that does not smell good. Not only does it really work, it works in hours. Other air purifiers are big and bulky and can cost a lot of money. Just take a look at this on the Rumble camera. It's small, but man, it is powerful. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. We'll be back with more. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
So first of all, if it is actually true, which is hard to believe, that he would have called China and done these things and was willing to advise them of an attack or in advance of an attack, that's treason. And I would think, I've had so many calls today saying, that's treason.
Yeah, I would agree. That's former President Trump. And I saw that Jen Psaki was just asked about this at a press conference about General Mark Milley and whether or not he should resign. And she basically said that members of Congress, that President Biden isn't looking for advice from them after their leader fomented an insurrection.
Oh, snap, snap, snap.
And she seemed tempted to say they're the president of their party, but she corrected themselves. But that is how they think of it, you know. Joe Biden's the president of the Democrats, and the rest of us, he can't stand. He talks to us with more disgust than he does the Taliban. And I thought, here's how old I am. I remember when he was the guy who was going to be ushering in unity. He was going to bring us all together, kumbaya. He was going to reach across the aisle. And that's clearly not happening. And I'm glad that we just played that Trump cut about General Milley, because that is the poll question today. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy for decades, and we all love Kennedy Carpet here. They're great. I'm going to make a visit to one of their showrooms very soon. I think I'm going to go to the one in Weymouth. I'm very excited about it. So for all your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to KennedyCarpet.com today. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe the Woodward Costa story about General Milley?
That is the question. And actually, I'm going to throw this out there for the audience, because I'd be curious what the listeners think. Here's why I'm torn. One is, I know that General Milley hated Trump. That's very clear. I think it's very obvious that he's botched a lot of things, especially in the last couple of weeks with that withdrawal from Afghanistan. And so I wouldn't put it past him. No. But at the same time, my standards or my expectations for our media and our journalists, if you can even call them that, is lower than, as Howie Carr would say, lower than whale excrement. So I think it's a tough call to make. Tom Elliott, who's one of my favorite follows, put it well. He said, I'm aware of the possibility that Woodward pulled a Woodward and sensationalized some of these scenes. In this case, though, I doubt it. For one, his co-author, Robert Costa, has a better reputation for accuracy. For another, the consensus seems to be that Milley was himself a source. We'll get into more of this, but my verdict. I know Jared's looking at me like, you got to answer the question.
I would direct the witness to answer the question.
I know, it's tough. I'm going to say, yeah, I think he said it.
33% of the audience says no, they do not believe it. And 67% say yes, they do.
Yeah. And at the risk of reading off a bunch of tweets here, because I've been trying to veer myself off of that a little bit, Rick Grinnell reposted someone who wrote, And this is Adam Laxalt. He wrote, they are magically producing a different reason to fire General Milley than the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. Now he should be fired twice. Time to take out our woke military elite and save our military. That's also a possibility, is that this did happen. And the reason they waited wasn't so they could tease their upcoming book, but they needed another reason to get him out without saying it was Afghanistan. Because if you listen to Joe Biden, Afghanistan went perfectly. It was historic. It was heroic.
It was expected.
It was planned. There was nothing wrong with Afghanistan. So they need to figure out another way to give Milley the boot. I want to know what you think. 844-500-4242. Let me just say this. When Alexander Vindman says that you might have to go, it's not looking good. We'll talk more about this and do a little Dear Grace on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone. We're about to dive into more of this General Milley situation. But first, I want to tell you guys, I got into a little bit, without realizing it, I started quite the debate on Twitter today. I just had this revelation. You know, I love chocolate chip cookies. And I decided that I think Pillsbury is actually better than Toll House. And I grew up in a Toll House household. And we always chose Toll House. But I have decided, I have declared that I think Pillsbury is a better cookie. And a lot of people online are disagreeing, but I stand by that. I think that it's a little bit butterier. It's a little bit softer. And I like a soft chocolate chip. I don't like a really crispy cooked one. I like it a little doughy. So that's where I'm staying. I'm not changing it. I'm getting a lot of calls from people saying, change that tweet. It's not. It's staying the same. All right, now let's get into this Mark Milley situation. I think the best explanation of this is actually from the Washington Examiner. It says, Mark Milley must go. And it talks a little bit about how crazy 2020 was with the election and Trump and, you know, his reaction to it. And then it goes on to say, but none of Trump's actions justified top military advisor Mark Milley allegedly promising the People's Liberation Army's general that he would warn him if Trump decided to launch an attack. According to a new Trump expose by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, you know what this is going to be? This book is going to be the latest coffee table book. You know, if you want to show your friends, I still hate Trump. My hate for Trump is still strong. I haven't given up on the Orange Man bad derangement syndrome. Then you buy this book and you can throw the Andrew Cuomo inspired leadership book out. Finally. So this is a new coffee table book for all the limousine liberals to put and show their friends that they're dedicated to the anti-Trump cause. According to a new Trump expose, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has an established line of communication with his Chinese counterpart. And this is a Chinese general. I think I'm going to butcher this name, though, Jared. Do you know how to pronounce it? Li Zhuozhang? Zhuozhang?
How's it spelled?
I'm just going to say General Li.
General Li's good.
The Washington Post describes a call made by Milley before the election. General Li, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay, Milley told him. We are not going to attack or conduct any operations against you, kinetic operations against you. In the book's account, Milley went so far as to pledge he would alert his counterpart in the event of a U.S. attack. This is really, if true, stunning stuff that he's saying to General Li. Stressing the rapport they'd established through a back channel, General Li, you and I have known each other for now 5 years. If we are going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. He's such a good friend. With enemies like this, who needs friends? I mean, I have your back, bro. Don't worry. I don't want you to stress out. CNN, which also obtained an advance of the book due for release later this month. And by the way, a lot of people are pointing out, which is absolutely accurate, the Constitution and the state of democracy and the republic as a whole was in such jeopardy, you know, that they were telling us at all times that the walls were closing in and this is the end of, and America was on the brink of destruction. We were seconds away from the horned helmet guy taking over. and ruining America. And yet, we could hold off on these details until the September release of the book. Peril. That's how urgent all of this was, is that Costa and Woodward were like, yeah, no, it's crazy stuff, but let's hold off. Maybe we can parlay this into a new coffee table book. So this is according to CNN, and this is the description of Milley's behavior. He told his top service chiefs to watch everything all the time. He called the director of the National Security Agency and told him, needles up, keep watching, scan. And then he told Gina Haspel, aggressively watch everything 360. The authors write, Milley was overseeing the mobilization of America's national security state without the knowledge of the American people or the rest of the world. Woodward and Costa also write that some might contend that Milley had overstepped his authority. You think? Some of those people include Alexander Vindman, just so you know that this isn't just Trump supporters who think he was out of line. And even taken extraordinary power for himself, but he believed his actions were a good faith precaution to ensure there was no historic rupture in the international order, no accidental war with China or others, and no use of nuclear weapons, as Jared pointed out yesterday. The old noble lie, you know? It's not the George Costanza theory of it's not a lie if you believe it. The theory is it's a lie, but you don't have to feel bad about it because you're doing it for the right reasons, you know? You're trying to help. At best, now this is again from the Washington Examiner, at best the combined reports paint a picture of an unelected bureaucrat every bit as authoritarian as the president he claimed to fear. At worst, Milley seems to have toyed with treason, promising to protect a hostile foreign adversary in the case that a legitimately elected commander-in-chief, however wrongly intentioned, exercised his military authority. Milley must go. That was already apparent from the Biden administration's disastrous evacuation of Afghanistan, which culminated in the restoration of the Taliban and left behind an unknown number of American citizens. It was one thing for Milley to secure authority away from the president behind the scenes, but within the administration. It's another thing entirely to pledge a sort of fealty to the world's worst human rights abuser out of apparent political animus. Biden has had enough reasons to oust Milley after the fall of Kabul. Now all of Washington, D.C. has a political excuse to do so. And the Pentagon stenographer Jennifer Griffin came out and said, I am told that General Milley had two routine calls with his Chinese counterpart and more than a dozen calls with NATO allies after January 6th to reassure them that the U.S. government was stable and to reassure China that the U.S. did not plan a surprise attack, an effort to avoid misunderstanding. And as Red State's Bonchi pointed out, that's not going to cut it, you know? We've been gaslit a lot in the past couple months. We've been told that a lot of things are normal. You know, this is what always happens. There's nothing weird about this. President Biden told Ghani to, you know, to change the perception, even if it's not true. That's normal. This is all normal. This isn't normal. This is not normal. And the Pentagon stenographer tweeting out that it is, I don't think that's going to cut it. And, Jordan Shashel put up, the Pentagon is happy to inform us that it has investigated the Pentagon's actions and found that the Pentagon did nothing wrong. This is how it always works, you know? It's like when NBC was investigating Matt Lauer. NBC has investigated Matt Lauer, who works for NBC. And NBC thinks that NBC is doing a great job. And NBC is off the hook. Just it never, ever ends. And I'm really starting to believe this, partially because some people say that Milley was a source for this, for these quotes. And I'm sure, you know, what's another element of this, which makes me believe it. I'm sure that at a certain point, Milley, after watching how every person who went up against Trump, they didn't necessarily come out winners. Trump has that kind of Trump curse on people where they, I mean, just ask Michael Avenatti. It doesn't always pan out to go against Trump. But a sure thing is that the media is going to crown you as the next hero. You know, they'll embrace you with open arms. if you hate Donald Trump. So I'm sure that if Milley was a source of this, you might be thinking to yourself, there's no way that Milley would, you know, go along with this. But then I think to myself, well, he was probably thinking, they'll love me anyway. Like, even if this all comes out, what did I do? I mean, I went up against Trump. That's an automatic win for them. They'll embrace it. But it's looking like, I mean, and some nuts do embrace it. Don't get me wrong. You got Joe Scarborough. He's always going to back you if you go against Trump. But then there's other people who are like, this is a little bit scary. And I had Carol Markowitz on earlier in the show, and she had tweeted out something that I thought was a really, I felt very similar. She said, I hope this isn't true. Like, I really hope this isn't true. And I feel the same way, because it's very scary if it is true. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Grace. Looking at the CNN, MSNBC shows, when all their guests were fawning over the general, there was no follow-up, and you know, from the host to say, do you understand what he did was illegal? To really put them in their place, because they're always willing to go, well, you know, it was for the greater good, even though it's against the law, you know, and so forth. That's where I think a lot of people don't understand, is that he did break the law. It is treason. If this is true, this is one of the worst things that could happen to the United States, as we know it, as a democracy.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Dan. There's a lot of explaining things away if they benefit your politics. But to some liberals' credit, they are coming out, and there's a few people who are coming out and saying, this is not good, no matter where you stand, because calling up China and telling China, hey, don't worry about it, don't listen to anything he says, and making people beneath you take an oath of, like, almost loyalty to you is really strange. Thanks for the call, Dan. Chris, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Grace, you just downplayed the Capitol riot. You called the guy the horned helmet guy and made him look cartoonish. But do you realize people died during the storming of the Capitol?
Yeah, Ashley Babbitt died. That was one person. She was shot by a police officer. I do realize that, Chris. I know where this is going. I've said it a million times. It was a bad day. I'm not going to pretend that it was the worst thing since the Civil War, though I'm sure you would like me to. I can't do that. I'm done with the hyperbole. I know what it was. You know what it was. If you want to wake up, make your cup of coffee and tell yourself it was the worst thing that's ever happened in this country, feel free. That is absolutely your right. But I can't go around this merry-go-round any longer. And furthermore, you should rest easy, Chris, knowing that everyone in the FBI is using all of their resources and all of their time and the limited intelligence that they do have and their pea brains to investigate the crap out of January 6th. I think that'll make you feel better. They're combing through every Lego set and every person's background, so no stone will be left unturned when it comes to January 6th. And with that, I hope that you rest easy, because that must make you feel real good. Everyone's focused on it at all times. And if you want to focus on it even a little bit more, if I downplayed it a little bit too much for Chris, which I'm sure I did, because I'm sure he would prefer, you know, more dramatics, I encourage you to turn on MSNBC and CNN and watch them. They're talking about it constantly. Joe Scarborough is talking about it 24/7. And Chris, I'm going to tell you something else. They could use a few more eyeballs. You'd be doing them a favor, and you'd be doing me a favor as well. 844-500-4242. Ronnie, go ahead. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, as always, Grace, thank you so much for taking the call. Loving your show. Regarding Mark Milley, this is exactly what believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, looks like when it's put into practice. And we've seen it for years with the radical left, where a radical leftist will, you know, spray paint swastikas all over a college campus and blame it on white supremacists. And when they get caught, their attitude is, well, yeah, I lied, but that doesn't change the fact that this happens for real every day in America. And I was just trying to draw attention to it, you know, like, and it's almost virtually an exclusively leftist thing to think this way. And the ends justify the means, like,
yeah,
this, because, you know, on our side of the aisle, Grace, we don't have to fake hate. I mean, the hate against us is just, it's on every network every second of the day, so we don't have to fake anything. But, yeah, I hope to God this isn't true either, Grace, because
no,
it's terrifying if it is.
You know what, Ronnie, you put that really well when you said the ends justify the means. And that's the problem with this Trump hate, is that it's really caused people to go against their principles, to go against their true beliefs. They've just been totally deranged by hating a guy, so much so that they're calling, if it's true that Milley was calling up China to give them fair warning that they're all set, then that's real derangement. There's no question about it. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll do a little Dear Grace on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We got a lot of people on the line to want to talk. Let's go to Joe. You're next with Grace. Go ahead, Joe.
Good afternoon, Grace. Great show. Thank you for taking my call. You know, General Milley's treasonous actions is just another long line of Democrats' treasonous actions. We had Ted Kennedy working with Russia to beat Reagan. We had John Kerry meeting with the Iranians behind President Trump's back. And now we got General Milley making friendly calls to the Chinese, telling them that he's going to take care of them in the event of a military action. Like you said, with friends like this, we don't need enemies.
Yeah, and it's interesting because what a lot of people were pointing out, and I was actually, Joe, just chatting with Howie about this. I go into Howie's office, if you guys haven't realized it, almost every break. And we were just saying, you know, if you're China and you don't really think that there's any attack happening, and then you get a call specifically telling you not to worry about an attack, call me crazy. My first thought would probably be, is there going to be an attack? It's like the lady doth protest too much. Why is this Millie character calling me out of the blue, telling me not to worry? Suddenly, I'm worried.
Yeah, it's like you're at a steakhouse and the waiter comes out and says, hey, you don't have to worry about poisoned beef here.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, 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 wait, what?
Don't worry about getting food poisoning. You're going to be fine. You're like, oh, should I be worried about that? Thanks for the call, Joe. I agree. And the more I read about this, the secret phone calls of Milley, and he was trying to stave off a national security crisis. And it makes sense that he didn't worry about how this was going to be perceived, because if you do something against Orange Man Bad or to protect us from Orange Man Bad, then you're immediately sainted. You're anointed. You're the chosen one. So he probably thought, if anything, he was going to get, you know, a round of applause, maybe a Ted Kennedy Inspired Leadership Award. As you pointed out, Ted Kennedy has his own history in this kind of behavior. He probably thought he was going to be the toast of the town, the leader of the best and the brightest. And instead, he's not getting the reaction he really planned on. Let's go to Bob. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Quickly, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. I've been listening to Kuna this morning, and now you're talking about this general, and you're angry that he's having dialogue with the Chinese people. Why is that a bad thing? And could we stop and think that maybe China having a presence in the U.S., maybe having some control, could be a good thing? I mean, think about it. China doesn't have racism. They don't have inequality like we do. It could be.
Oh, geez, Bob. Oh, Bob, you got to Google Uyghurs, man. I mean, you're off there. But if I can just say, there's a difference between having dialogue. Words matter. You know how Democrats say that? Words matter. There's a difference between having dialogue with China and calling up a Chinese general and telling him that if he gets wind of an attack, that don't listen because the president shouldn't be the one he listens to. That's a very different thing. As they write in Powerline blog, this is John Hinderacher, if this account is true, Milley's conduct is about the worst of which any military man could be accused. Oh, boy. We got a lot of learning to do today. 844-500-4242. Thank you for the call, though, from everybody. Even the calls. Even the suckers and losers. We'll be right back.